I was planning to give some testimony tonight about some forgiveness instances in my life that I thought would go well with all the things that Brother Tim did. But for some reason, as the day wore on, I couldn't put it together. So I'll try to do it later sometime. I have never been one to really hold things against people. But it's very, very easy for me to hold things against an idea or a government or something that's not so personal. And I had some instances in my life where it just about crushed me when I did that. But for tonight, we will go to John chapter 7. There's even just as important a lesson in this chapter. Something that we dealt with one time in the past, more than 5 years ago, I would guess. We'll cover that verse in here tonight. I want to reiterate what I spoke on years back. But to begin, let's pray. Father, do help us as we study this precious book tonight. Help us to get from it the things that would apply to our lives and to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to just read in chapter 7, verses 1 through 18. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. In the first verse of this chapter, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. After these things, after what things? Well, the immediate preceding chapter would be these things. So we have in that chapter the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and the bread of life discussion that follows it. There were things that went before that too. And so it may not be just exactly only the things that happened in this preceding chapter, but in the things that led up to this time in Jesus' life right now. Those things had made the Jews want to kill him, and so he went out of their country and stayed in Galilee. So this is where he is now. And this is an interesting verse. I want all you guys to catch this, because I have had some arguments with people sometimes. Did Jesus keep the law? Here's a very, very clear example in this passage right here where Jesus did not keep the law. It says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. It doesn't say, now the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. It does not say, now God's Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. It says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And you guys know Jesus didn't go. He didn't go at the beginning. So if he did go, he was there late. He didn't go set up a booth. He didn't go build himself a booth that they had to build and had to stay in there for 7 days, and they had to keep two of those days as Sabbath days, and there's the whole thing is written out in Leviticus. You can go read it if you want to. Jesus didn't keep that feast. And we have a major Christian doctrine of Calvinism, and it has spilled over into many other ideals, that Jesus kept the law for us, because so we didn't have to keep the law. Jesus did it for us. He came down here and he lived a perfect life before God, keeping the law. Jesus didn't keep the law at all, because the law was done away when Jesus came to the earth, because Jesus fulfilled the law. Anyway, that's not my main point tonight. But you guys can put that feather in that notebook and study it out if you don't agree with me. Anyway, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. They're taunting him because Jesus is working some miracles, and these brothers that grew up in the same family with the Lord didn't believe on him. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. And so they're poking fun at him and saying, listen, if you think you're something so special, which he didn't even make any claim, really, to be anything so special, but they're saying, if you think you're so special, you can do all this stuff, get up to the feast. You've got disciples there. Let them see what you're doing. Now, Jesus ends, well, no, not in this discussion, but after he does go up to the feast, And this whole story, as the Jews come to him and start arguing with him, the last verse we read says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Very important, very, very important for anybody who is going to be in ministry. You are pointing people to Christ, not your church, not your doctrine, not your Bible translation, unless it's the perfect one, which I happen to use, just kidding. If you've got any personal things mixed up in your ministry, it's those things that the whole world will find cracks in your life, will pick you apart, and the fact of the matter is, we are human. We all are human, so we all have foibles in our persons. So we are always going to have something that somebody can pick at in our lives. But if you are going out to have a ministry for yourself, to have a church for yourself, to build a big thing for yourself, to make yourself a name in Christianity, to be a leader among the people, if you're doing that kind of stuff, you aren't even right with God. You aren't even a person someone should follow. The only way you can be a minister of Christ is to completely sell yourself, body, soul, and spirit, everything you have and are, to God, and say, I'll serve you whether people like me or whether they don't. I'll serve you whether I get to pastor a church or whether I don't. I'll serve you if I have life or if I have death. I'll serve you if the people love me or if the people stone me. I'll serve God, I will serve you no matter what. And Jesus is the only person that I listen to. I'll do whatever he says. That's true ministry. So Jesus isn't here looking to promote himself like his brothers thought he should be. They thought, as they say in verse 4, there's no man that doeth anything in secret. And he himself seeketh to be known openly. I mean, it's unheard of that a human being has something to show off and he doesn't want to show it. If you're doing something, you don't do things in secret. If you've got something going, you go to the world with it. That was their take on life. So they say, if thou do these things, what things? There was no ifs about the things Jesus did. Either he did them or he didn't do them. He wasn't claiming to do anything he didn't do. But the things he did do, his brethren weren't even ready to believe he did. And then the next verse tells us, for neither did his brethren believe in him. But now the next verse is my verse tonight that I want to give you guys a very important principle for life. Because then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. And when we're talking in life about things that are right and wrong, we get into major theological discussions, and some that aren't so theological, about whether things are right or wrong. And many times people want you to take them to the scriptures, and they want you to open up to Revelation chapter 23, verse 1, and show them where God says, thou shalt never watch TV because it's too dirty. Okay? They want you to show them that verse before they'll give their television up. But the Bible does not give us a book of the things we can and can't do in specifics, for the most part. But it does give us a book that guides us in a path of righteousness. And one thing that we always apply to whether or not we should or shouldn't do something is what time it is. That is a proper principle to make decisions for things. We need to address it in many major issues of life. Let me just give you some examples that we'll agree on right away to start. So for example, let's imagine that this is going to go, if this is being recorded, I'm not going to use any names we know. Let's imagine that John, sitting in the front row, who's invisible right now, and Patty is sitting next to him. John is 20 years old. Patty is 19 years old. They love each other. He has chosen her to be his wife. He has asked her to marry him. She has said yes. They're both single. They had the right to get married. Okay? We all know that if John leaves this building tonight and he goes out and he takes some woman out here on this earth that belongs to another man and has a physical relationship with him, the Bible tells him he has sinned. But does he sin if he has a relationship with his own woman? Yes, because they didn't get married yet. Why? Why is the question? Why? Because the fact of the matter is, if it's his woman, what is wrong with it? Well, of course, we don't even have to understand, because God laid that one out in Scripture. Okay, God said that he couldn't have any relationship with that woman unless they were married. Okay, we all know that, and we all agree with it. But the problem there is not what is being done, it's when it is being done. Because the fact of the matter is, there's no problem with that couple having a relationship. It's just, when can they have it? And they can't have it until God says they can have it. Now, if I go into Triggs, I don't recommend it, but if I go into Triggs, and I am shopping up and down their aisles, and I can't find anything very good to eat, but I do find some Snickers bars. And I feel like maybe they would be good to take home. I put them in my cart and I start wheeling up towards the registers I'm going to check out. If I decide to open a Snickers bar and eat it in the store on my way up to the register, I am stealing. That's sin. I'm stealing. But once I get to the register and I pay for my stuff and I walk out the door, I can eat it. Now, why can I eat it at 1 minute and I can't the minute before? Now the fact of the matter is, I happen to own a store and I know people do this. And we never report them as stealing when they do. They will eat a bar while they're shopping in the store. This is a rare occurrence, but it happens sometimes. They'll eat a bar or something, and they'll bring their wrapper up to the checkout, and they'll pay for it with their groceries. And they'll maybe sort of even apologize for the fact that they ate it because they were really hungry. So they didn't steal, right? Because they were planning on paying for it. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, we can start pushing things in all sorts of directions when we want to get technical. But the fact of the matter is, they ate it when they weren't supposed to. And if you want to say, little issue, we're not going to call the cops on them, I agree. But if you're going to be the kind of a Christian that Jesus shows his character to be right here, you don't do things like that. Whether or not somebody lets you get away with it or not, you just don't do things like that. You do things in very precise, proper order in time. When it is your business, not before. Of course, it's pretty simple when you eat a bar. When you take the wrapper up there, it scans the same way whether there's a bar in it or not. But when it's a banana, it's fairly difficult to find out how much they actually owe. Because the banana's missing. And usually it goes on the scale and gets weighed. So they're okay at that point if you just pick any old banana out of your bunches and weigh it in its place. But, you know, it's not proper. Jesus went up to the feast, it tells us. In verse 10, when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. He went to the feast. And I don't know, maybe somebody in this room who is smarter than me does, but I don't know why Jesus would not go when they told him to go. But Jesus knew something that maybe we don't know, about why he should not go at that time. And it was probably only a very few days later that he left to go. Because the feast was only like 8 days long, if I remember right. And he got there when the feast was still going on. He didn't go build himself a booth like everyone else does. He was found in the temple teaching. Why didn't he go? But he gave a principle. He said, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. And if you want to compare the difference between the life of a person who is saved and the life of a person who is living for themselves, this is one of the number one distinguishing factors. Because many times, the people who are Christians and the people who are not do many of the exact same things in life. But the people who are Christians do them according to God's guidelines. And the people who are not Christians do them according to the lusts of their flesh. If you want a girlfriend, now is the time for a girlfriend. If one will have you. If you want to have fun with your girlfriend, now is the time to have fun with your girlfriend, not later. If God says later, you laugh. Now is your time. If you are hungry, now is your time to eat food. When Jesus was hungry and the devil asked him why he didn't turn the rocks into bread, because he certainly was able to do it, Jesus told him he had other things to do. There is a time to eat. That's true. There's also a time not to eat. And brother and sister and people, if any of you aren't my brothers and sisters, if you don't know the fact that there is a time in your life not to eat, you've got something wrong in your life. We don't eat every time we get a whim to eat. We eat when it's a good time to eat. We don't eat when the food isn't our food. Or when we're supposed to be doing something else more important. We don't be those kind of people who have a specific lifestyle of you get up in the morning later than you should. You mosey around, eat a late breakfast. You lollygag through the rest of the afternoon, possibly, or the morning. You possibly do a little shopping. You probably do a bunch of time on the internet. And middle of the afternoon, you finally get around to lunch. And then you waste a bunch of time in the afternoon. And late that evening is time for fun and games and movies and whatever else you might do. And then you have a late supper and you go to bed, and that's a day. We call it a day. The Bible says, woe, if I can quote it, woe unto a nation whose princes eat in the morning. For drunkenness or something instead of strength. I don't remember how exactly the verse goes. Maybe Dan's going to find it for me. But the point is, God really doesn't want a king to eat in the morning? That's not the point. It's not the point that breakfast is an illegal meal if you're a Christian. The point is, when you get up in the morning, if breakfast is the thing on your agenda for the day, you aren't worthy of being a king. When you get up in the morning, there's a job to do. You've got a day ahead of you to accomplish. There's something to be done. And eating doesn't go into that list of to-do things. It's going to take place during the day, but it's not on your list. It's not the first thing you accomplish. Did you find it? Next verse.
Blessed art thou, O land, and thy kingdom, the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness.
Yes. In due season. In due season. Does anyone know what a season is? That's time. That means eat in the right time. There's a time God wants you to have breakfast. It's not the same time for each one of us. But there is a time. There's a time to eat breakfast that is wrong. There is a time that you get up in the morning and breakfast isn't the right thing to do. That's an amazing idea to the human race. Because something as simple and as right as eating food, how can we possibly tell anybody it's wrong to eat? But the fact of the matter is, there are times that it's not right to eat. Not that the food is wrong. Not that you don't need that food. But there are times that it's not the right time to eat. If we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we have the whole sermon on time, where he says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence. We never get that one. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. There is a time to do the very opposites. There is a time when you should open your mouth and say something. And there is a time that you should close it and say nothing. And if you don't get that right in life, if you open your mouth when you should shut up, or you shut up when you should speak, both become sin at certain times. Both of those situations can cause you to sin by either closing your mouth or opening your mouth at the wrong time. Some things in this passage are things that happen to us, things that we don't choose to do, like to be born, for example. How many of you guys chose the day you were born? You? Yes, and they get it wrong every single time. Meddling where they don't belong. But there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Do we know when those times are? Do we watch those times? You know, in talking to people many times, I've had occasion to recommend to a young person who's looking at how to pursue life. They're looking at something very specific. They want to do something very specific. And I have many, many, many times recommended to people, the thing that is in your head is wonderful, but you're not ready to do that. Now, the fact of the matter is, we can't always know everything. We're not perfect in knowledge, okay? And things sometimes that we choose, we should not be afraid if we're walking with God, loving Him, studying His Word vibrantly, and listening to people's advice. If we're doing those things, we should not be afraid that we might mess up our lives, okay? Because if we do get into a position or place where we start doing something we should not do, it's usually very easily and quickly seen. A good example of this is Moses. He felt sure that God wanted him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he went off to work. Well, the fact of the matter was, it didn't work. He had to flee for his life. He got to spend 40 years in the desert taking care of sheep. And then God sent him back to do the job he thought he had been called to do. Now, how many of you think he had been called? I think he had. He wasn't ready. God showed him very quickly he wasn't ready. It's hard sometimes for us to know exactly the right time to do everything that we should or shouldn't do. But the one thing that we need to apply as a principle to our life is the fact that there is a time. Is if we lose the idea that there is any rightness or wrongness about the time, we will go off into wild, self-pleasing, self-assertion, sinful life, doing what we want instead of what God says to do, because we miss the time element. Because many times, as I say, the things that we look at doing have nothing to do with whether or not it's right or wrong. It's a matter of whether or not it's time. One of the things that comes to my mind that I have done that I felt sometimes almost guilty about regards this church. I have had in the last how many years that I've been preaching in this church, I have had people numerous times, young people who probably would have been better listening to my teaching than trying to teach me, but nevertheless, I ain't going to say that because I'm just not going to say that. Nevertheless, they have come to me and nearly demanded of me that I take a bigger role in this church than I do. You are supposed to be the pastor. You are supposed to be the elder. Now, mind you, this is 10 years before the church recognized anything in me to be an elder. This was 10 years before this last summer that we had any elder discussions. That people in this church were telling me, you're supposed to be this and this and this and this and this. And you know what? If I had said, you're right, and stood up the next Sunday and announced it, I wouldn't be preaching here anymore today. You know why? Well, how many of you believe it's because Dale and my mom and Dan and Brandon would have stood up and said, you're fired, get out of here? How many of you think that's the reason? Nope, I don't either. Let me tell you what the reason is. Because any person who takes to themselves something that does not belong to them before the time that it belongs to them is a person without character who will do something else wrong the next day and something else wrong the next day and something else wrong the next day until they fail as a human being and are rejected from ministry. That's why. We looked at David this morning. Ezra, you talked about David and Saul, right? Was David anointed king over Israel? Who was there? Saul. So David has this dilemma to face. Samuel is the prophet of God. He knows what God wants. He's the one who told me I was king. But I've got this person in my way right now who would do everything in his power to stop it if he could. The two seem to be conflicting. But no. They're not conflicting at all. David is anointed king, but it's not time. It's the only thing. It's that simple. He's going to be the king, but it's not time. We don't know if he was ready yet. God didn't even say he was ready. He was anointed. It wasn't time. Of course, the easiest way to judge whether or not it's the right time to do something is to look at whether or not you have to compromise or sin or do anything shady to get to the place you're trying to be. And if we can recognize that we have to personally do something that we should not do in order to accomplish our ends, then it's fairly easy to see, okay, yeah, it's not time to do this right now. We'll have to wait. But the problem comes in when we start defining all those things that are in the way based on the rightness or the wrongness of the thing that we want to do. Let's see if we can come up with an example. If God tells me tomorrow, you are to go to San Diego, California, to be a missionary. That's where I want you to live the rest of your life. And I get up in the morning, I'm going to obey God. I go out to my car, and I'm missing all four tires. It's sitting on the ground, and all my tires are gone. Let's just pretend right now I only have one car. I look at that, I'm like, God told me to go to California. This doesn't make any sense. And I say, well, perhaps he doesn't want me to have the car. He took my tires, maybe. I'll get a plane. And so I jump on the internet really quick, start checking for tickets, and I find out that to fly my family out there will cost $4,120. And I'm signing up my tickets, I'm buying tickets, and I open up my checkbook, and oh, yeah, I guess I only have $550. That doesn't work either. And I start looking at all these different paths that I might take to get myself to California. And none of them seem to line up. None of them work for me right now. And so now I start defining right and wrong based on the fact that God told me to go. And so I say, well, obviously God wasn't untrue when he told me to go. He obviously wants me to go. I've got these blockades in my way. I'm going to have to overcome them by faith. And so I go down to Mort's Tire in the night, and I go into their shop. I try to figure out how to use their tools. I find the tire size for my car, and I get tires on, and I get out in the night before anyone finds me. I get them all on my van, and I go. And I define that as being right based on the fact that it was necessary for me to do the thing that I think I was supposed to do. Wrong, 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 wrong. Now the fact of the matter is, if I'm supposed to do the thing that I'm supposed to do, I still have to find out what time I'm supposed to do it. That's how we have to look at it. Because at the end of the day, when God said to the human race, thou shalt not lust, he gave us the hardest command. He gave us the command, the biggest command against our nature of anything that he ever said to the human race. The most natural thing that we do as people is promote ourselves, do what we want, get what we want, do whatever puts us forward. Forward, 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 forward is our life story about me. And you don't find that in the life of Christ. You don't find it. You don't find it there even a little bit. You just don't find it. He never lived that way. He always lived to do the will of God. And if you are going to live the Christian life, you're going to have to come to an understanding of the fact that you are not on earth to accomplish your ends. And you're going to have to come to an understanding of living for God and living for God's kingdom and living in God's will means that most of the things, and I mean that when I say most of the things, that you will ever dream of doing or that you will ever want for yourself, you can't do and please God too. Most of the things that ever cross your brain that you want to do, you have to say no to because it is not the will of God. And one of the big things that you will have to reckon with in life, if you are going to please God, one of the big things you're going to reckon with is not just the question if something is right or if something is wrong, but is it the right time? Is it the right time? Why wasn't it Jesus' time to go to Jerusalem? And again, I said, I can't answer that question. I don't know why it wasn't Jesus' time. It is possible that it was just as simple as the fact that his brethren were pressuring him to go, and he wanted to make a statement to them about the fact that he was not about showing himself to the world. It's possible that it was that simple. That doesn't seem quite the right thing to me when I think about it, but it's possible.
It's possible that
That is very possible too. The Bible doesn't really tell us why. But he says, your time is always ready. Whatever time it is when you want something, you can get it. Because your time is now. Yes.
Well, when he says my time is not yet come, would that be referring to the time when he was crucified?
Well, I think because we're still in John chapter 7, there was a lot of ministry after this yet. He's not anywhere near the end of his life yet. But because he says, my time is not yet come. And then he says in verse 8, go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast. Because he was going. He was going to leave in just a few days. But he didn't. He wasn't going to leave when they told him to. So I don't think he was referring to his death, because he didn't die when he went up to this feast.
Yeah, but if he had left early, could they
found him and killed him?
Yeah.
And that is certainly a possibility. Because he did do numerous things in his life to avoid being killed early. Not that it was probably possible to happen. I don't think God could have let it happen, but there were numerous things that he did personally just to avoid an encounter with death at the hands of the Jews. And maybe there was a mob up there waiting for him. And when they start talking about, they sought him at the feast and said, where is he? Maybe the mob got discouraged and went home and he went up after that. I mean, it could be something just like that. But it doesn't really tell us here. They were already seeking to kill him at this point. But he gives them another interesting thing in verse 7 where he says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Then he says, go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. So there, he had an issue here between him and his brothers. This life, this earth, this place, this opportunity was theirs. They owned it. And the world loved them because they were one of them. But Jesus, he separated himself from this life, this opportunity, this earth, these people. He had a message to bring, a very simple message. Your sins, your works are wicked. And because he was willing to stand up and testify against the sins of the people, he was hated. His brothers weren't hated. They were the upper class of society, if you will. If they could have worked the miracles that Jesus did, they would have gotten them a name for themselves. They would have risen up to have been the top Pharisee or whatever they could have gotten to be. But Jesus had something standing in the way between him and success. Because when we read back here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time to speak. There's a time to speak. Sometimes we get it wrong both times. There's a time to speak and there's a time to keep silence. And we blubber our mouths and run out of things to say. We're talking about things we shouldn't talk about when we should shut up. And then when the time comes, there's something we ought to say, we shut up. Jesus had it right both times. And see, he opened his mouth when something needed to be said on sin. He opened his mouth. And because he opened his mouth when something had to be said, the world hated him. But the brothers, they had a convenient situation. If speaking out against somebody's sin is going to make somebody hate you, you shut it. That was the convenient way to live. That's your time if you aren't serving God. Shut your mouth when it's inconvenient for your life. Open it when it's convenient. Preach about yourself when you've got an ear. Shut up about God when somebody's going to hate you for speaking about Him. This is your time now. But Jesus didn't live according to that time schedule. He lived according to a different time schedule. He followed God's clock. And he did things in the time that God wanted him to do things. Absolutely. Every person who has ever been a good Christian and pleased God has had disease of the mouth. They always tend to say something when they should shut up if they were worried about their own convenience. So when he had said these things, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. He wasn't going up to the feast to make himself the big guy there. He wasn't going up to stir up trouble. But he was going up there to do one important job. He was going to preach in the temple because there was a great crowd all around. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody was there. He was going up to the temple to preach. So the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he? Where is Jesus?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Here you have what we will call a crowd of people talking when it was time to be silent. None of them had anything to say. Neither the people who said, "He is a good man," nor the people say nay, nor the people that said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." All the whole group here of this people were unbelievers. They didn't love the Lord. They didn't know Him. They didn't admit Him. But they're talking about Him, and they've all got their opinion. And some believe He's a good man. He wasn't a good man. He was God. A good man doesn't help in this situation. The other people thought He was a bad man. He's deceiving the people. But even these people, even this crowd of people who's talking, has to talk quietly. It says, "Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews." The groups of people, the major people who are talking about Jesus here, are talking quietly. They don't want to stir up too much trouble because the Jews are out to get him. And they don't want to find themselves in the heat of a battle against a bad man where they might get themselves into trouble. So about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. He gets there halfway through the feast. And he goes up into the temple and taught. And here are all these Jews, some of which probably wanted to kill him. And they're amazed. He gets up there and he's teaching the people and they're like, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Now they knew enough about him to know that he hadn't gone to school. He hadn't learned to read and write. But he's teaching the people. And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. It didn't matter if Jesus had learned letters or not. He had gotten the doctrine from his Father. And he gives a proposition to the crowd who's listening to him, who's marveling about the fact that he's never learned letters. He says, If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I think we should take this verse up next time. This is a big verse. It's got a lot of good implications to it. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine.